Spectacular diagnostics.
Hello, it is 2025. It is the previous show. We are back, and it's January, so it can only mean one thing. It is the Aussie Road Race, and delighted to once again be joined by Chris Harper of Team Jayco Alula. Chris, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. Yeah,
Now,
just getting ready to go.
big changes. No
Big
more Mount
changes.
Buninyong, no more Ballarat after what seems like, I didn't actually look back, I don't know how many years. Feels like 10. Was it over 10? How do you know how many years it was at Ballarat?
I don't know what it would be, but ever since I started riding a bike, that would have been when I was 18 years old. So that's 12 years.
And it's
It's been in Buninyong.
always been the same route. Beautiful Mount Buninyong. Sprinters complaining every single year about not getting a chance to win, and now we go way over to the West Coast, and we're in Perth for what looks like a relatively flat route. So you've done a couple of laps on Recon, Chris. What do you think? So I've got the thing up here. So it starts and then it goes through the park. Is that right?
We go through, I think it's King's Park is the name of it. But yeah, pretty nice. Like through there, it's all very well paved surface, very nice, and very fast as well. Like even not being on the pedals, you're just carrying pretty good speed all the way through that park there. And it's sort of just rolling the whole time through the park. Like it's not pancake flat. But yeah, just sort of rolling road. Until you start to head out of the park a bit.
So we come out the park sort of down this side, isn't it, by the river?
Yeah,
And then
come
the
down
old
by the river on the main road there, and
and then
a new thing I've learned about Perth is it's very windy, so you definitely feel it there, especially in the afternoon. You sort of get nice mornings here in Perth, and then I think from about 12 or between 12 and 2, the wind picks up, and you definitely notice it.
I checked it. So I think it's a southwest or a west wind. It's going to be about 30 kilometers per hour, something like that, roughly.
Yeah, I think speaking of Derbs, he's the local, and I think he says normally whatever the wind is in the morning, it completely flips on itself. So I think this morning when we went out and rode, it was a bit of a headwind up the climb coming out of the city, and I think he's saying it should flip and it should be a tailwind. So I think probably along the river here we'll have a headwind, I imagine. And then turn and tailie up the longest climb of the course.
So there's only two real climbs in the whole thing, isn't there? There's this one as soon as you come out and back sort of into the main city, which is coming in at 350 meters at 7.5%. So very, very short, typical sort of city centre short little kicker. And then you turn left. So is that one the main? Is that the steepest one? I know there's the other one kind of more towards the finish, but that
Yeah,
one's
I'd say
the main.
that's the harder one for sure. Like it does kick up pretty steep. I don't know what the maximum gradient is, but it does kick up. It is pretty solid for a bit there. And then, it is, I mean, the other thing, I guess, with it is, it's actually quite close to the finish. So, yeah, I think that'll have a bit of an impact on the finish as well. It's not like you can get up that and then recover a bit. It's like get up that, and then I think it's 300 or 400 meters to the line.
Yeah, so this one's 400 meters at 4.5%. So it is so different compared to the usual circuit. The usual circuit, obviously, everybody's focused on Mount Buninyong, which is a really tough climb. This one, they say it's 193 meters of elevation per lap. There's 13 laps, which comes in at 2,500 meters of climbing. I'm not sure there's 2,500 meters of climbing, but I could well be wrong. There's 13 laps in total. Normally we talk about, climbers being able to make a difference or punchers being able to make a difference. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's pretty hard. I think one of the good things, I guess, about changing is we've never raced on this course, so no one knows what to expect. So I guess that's that element of unknown of like, can a sprinter get around 13 laps of this course, or is it just going to be raced so hard that they're starting to die a little bit in the back end? But yeah, I'm not really too sure. To me, it definitely looks hard, but at the same time, I think what will make the race hard is, you got guys like Sam Welsford, and everyone knows you if you go to the line with Sam Welsford, like you're racing for a silver medal. So I think everyone's going to have the mentality of we need to be up the road and we need to do something, and maybe that makes the first 2 hours of the race ridiculously hard, and that means the back end of the race, there's a lot of guys really, really suffering. I mean, sometimes, yeah, the races that the profile doesn't look that hard, it ends up being pretty brutal.
Yeah, it's. I suppose in the old course, you know where it's going to be hard, whereas this, the riders have to make the race. And as you said, so you guys arrive with five. It's Plappe, defending champion, yourself, Durbridge, Hepburn, Kel O'Brien. So no sprinter. Kel
No
O'Brien's
sprinter.
fast, but he's not Sam Welsford fast.
Kel's definitely the fastest of all of us. But yeah, like you said, Welsford's a world class, winning bunch kicks at the World Tour level. So yeah, he's definitely the fastest guy in the race, I'd say. And probably as well, there's a couple local guys who are pretty quick
Yeah,
on their day as well.
he's only got Hindley as a teammate, so really isolated. Then we've got the other kind of World Tour guys. We've got Jay Vine coming in again solo, only UAE guy here. Stannard's here from Bahrain, Eddie from DSM. So we don't have the normal like groupings. Usually DSM arrive with like three guys, EF usually have a couple of guys. And then the biggest of the Australian teams, I don't actually know how they pronounce this. Is it Seacash, Body Wrap?
I think it's just cash, but
Seacash.
again, I could be wrong.
So they come in with seven. So they're the biggest team. They've got Cam Scott, who's just stepped down from World Tour level. They've got Liam Walsh, who's a pretty solid cyclist as well. So normally we're used to, over the years in Ballarat, it's been, I mean, Euro team, Bridgeland used to arrive with the biggest team, and they would try and put pressure on Jayco or whatever they were called in the day. You have been the benefactor of this before, playing the numbers game, and I suppose that local team, they have to try and do something like
Yeah,
that.
absolutely.
If you guys go up the road, they want to be there. And I
They've
would
got to be
imagine
there.
you guys will want to take them as well, so they're not chasing you.
Yeah, I guess so. I think, I guess, I mean, we haven't discussed it yet, but I mean, yeah, probably no surprise. I don't think the benefit of Buninyong was the way the course was. If something needed to be fixed, you had a 6 minute climb, and if you've got some strong guys, you can fix problems pretty quick. And I think the way this course is, if you mess it up, it's pretty hard to fix something. So yeah, I think the goal is not to get in a situation where we're out of control. Otherwise, we're probably burning a match.
Yeah, and I mean, you've not had team meeting or team tactics yet, but I would fully imagine it would be make the start as hard as possible and then see how the race develops after that. Try and blow Welsford early and then take your chances from there.
I guess so. I think, looking at the riders we've got very strong riders, but we probably also have the riders where we don't really want to go to the line with anyone unless Kel's with a group. He's pretty confident he can roll. But yeah, I think the rest of us would feel a lot happier if no one's behind us, that's for sure.
Yeah, and then you've got Durbridge, who's home rider, so he's, I would imagine, super motivated to do something. Friends and family will be there. Yeah, extra motivation of riding at home, I suppose.
Absolutely. I think He'll be motivated for it. And anyone who knows Derbs knows he rocks up in bloody good nick in January. So yeah, he's he'll be be a pretty important part on Sunday, I'd say.
And I suppose it will be the usual, as long as the jersey stays in the team, all the guys
Yeah.
are happy.
Yeah, for sure. If we the goal is to keep the jersey, and doesn't matter who it is, it's just keep the jersey.
Now you had a test yesterday, just a lovely little time trial to get
Yeah.
the legs rocking and rolling. You're fourth, just a couple of seconds back off the podium.
Yeah.
How was it? How was the first effort of the year?
Yeah, it was good actually. I mean, for me, it was sort of what I expected, performance-wise. Like that's where I expected to be from the training I've done. But yeah, it was good. It was a hard course actually. It probably was harder than what we thought coming into it. Like when I first saw it, I thought, ah, this is flat. Nothing about this is good for me. But it was a very, very hard course, very honest course. You pretty well were on the pedals most of the time. There wasn't a heap of recovery there. And yeah, like I said, the afternoons here, the wind picks up, and you definitely felt that sort of getting blown around a bit on the TT bike. So yeah, it was good. It's good to get a big opener like that in before Sunday as well. Blow the cobwebs out a bit.
And a good result for the team Plap, winning
Yeah.
again, beating Jay Vine, who probably was most people's favourites because he's done sensational things in the TT bike, especially last season. But a great
Yeah.
result for Luke to beat him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, Plappy and Jay are both world-class time trialers. You know, they're up there in World Tour events. And yeah, both had a bit of bad luck on the TT bike last year in different events. But yeah, it was good to see them throw down and go head to head. And yeah, of course, we're very happy to see Plappy back in the jersey. And yeah, also a solid ride by Kelder to have two guys on the podium.
Yeah, and it was close as well, wasn't it? Like 30 odd K, and it was about 8 seconds or something between them.
Well, I think Plappy went out. From what I've heard, I mean, I was out there, so I was more worried about getting caught by them. But yeah, I heard Plappy went out very hard, and I think on the first lap, or in the first couple laps, I think he was 20 or 30 seconds up on him.
All right, okay.
And I think Jay had a very strong last lap and made it very close. But yeah, obviously Plappy held on by 8 or 9 seconds, whatever it was. So, yeah, good enough.
Yeah. Now, a little chat about last year. So let's rewind. 2023, you came off a really good season, Tour de France, riding for Simon Yates. You were quite often the last climbing domestique left towards the
Yep.
front end. And it was just a really strong tour for you. You end the season, the Italian Classics, strong as well. Again, Lombardia, you were the last guy left to set pace on that final climb. And then you move into this season and you start pretty well. I mean, Paris-Nice, you're riding. So in my head, you're moving sort of slightly away from that domestic role and you're getting real kind of leadership opportunities. You go to Paris-Nice and you finish 12th, which
Yep.
it's a tough race. And it's not really I would say your style of race. It's not got the big long climbs. How did you find that Paris-Nice last season?
Hard for me. Yeah, like I knew I'd just come off a camp in Tenerife, and I knew my shape was really good, and I just didn't quite get to show it at Paris-Nice. I've always struggled a lot in the cold, and it was absolutely freezing. And probably the stage that suited me the most. We still raced, but we shortened it by a lot, which isn't good for me. It just became a sort of bit more of a power test rather than, fatigue and still being able to do the numbers at the end. So I suffered on that stage, and then the last stage there. I'd say the last stage, I'm good on it, but not. I wouldn't say it's amazing for me. The climbs are probably a little bit short. But yeah, I came away from that and I was quite motivated because I didn't get the result I wanted. We had a good race as a team. We won the team time trial, and Plappy was in the yellow jersey, and he had a really good race, finishing, I think he finished sixth or fifth overall.
Yeah.
So as a team, I think we did a good race, but personally, I just felt like I didn't quite get what I wanted to out of the race, given all the work I'd done. But that was good. I had Catalunya 2 weeks later, and I was motivated, went home and got in another good block of training, and then just focused on, yeah, hoping that the weather in Catalunya was a little bit kinder, which it ended up not being. But yeah, that's got to roll with the punches a bit.
But Catalunya, in my opinion, without doubt, your best result as a pro. You've had big results before, but you line up there, you know, there's Pogacar, who's different level, and then you're in the mix. You finish sixth overall, frustratingly on the same time as Mass for a top five.
That intermediate sprint got a little bit sneaky, but yeah, you got they took advantage of that. But yeah, that
Top
is what it is.
five sounds better than top six, doesn't it?
All of a
But
sudden, you're going from top five to yeah, I was top 10, and then yeah, it doesn't sound as impressive, does
I
it?
mean, that week was brilliant. You're up there, you're mixing it with, as we said, Pogacar's different level, but Landa, Mas, Vlasov, Tiberi, who then goes on to do a really good Giro. You know, how did that feel? That you must have been so pleased with yourself.
Yeah, very good. I still made some, mistakes as well. That stage where, I mean, Pogacar rode away from us pretty early on.
Yeah.
And then I think it was Lander and Sepp chasing him. And then I kicked across to them, and I was probably a little bit too ambitious that day. And the group came back to us, and I sort of stayed with the group, but if I could go back again, I probably would have been a little bit more patient. I think I would have got a better result if I was a bit more patient on that day. But it's always hard. Like, you go from your role is to make it hard on a climb for your leader so that they can do it. And then all of a sudden, you're in a situation where you're racing with the leaders. I wouldn't say you panic, but you're not experienced. Like, guys like Yatesy, who are used to doing the final. I remember in the bus in the morning, he was like, "Don't do anything. Just wait for the last 2K. And then if you've got the legs, yeah, follow the guys then." And me being dumb, I was like, "Yeah, I've got the legs. I'm going to jump across to Lander and Kuss." And then when Lander kicks off, I'm like, "All right, this is too quick for me."
Hope
And then
Yatesy pulled you up afterwards.
He was like, "Well, told you." But yeah, it was good experience, and then good for confidence as well. Like, all that work from Tenerife, and that sort of paid off. It was a good result, and definitely making progress. I think I said going into the year that I wanted to take a little bit more opportunity myself when it presented, and still the big focus for the year was going to the tour to support Simon. So those races, Paris-Nice and Catalunya, where I had a bit of opportunity to, go for myself, I wanted to make the most of that. And then as soon as, well, the last one was Alps, as soon as that was over, it was full focus to get ready for the tour.
In Alps itself, you were second in the first stage. That sort of reduced sprint. Is it Foss that won? Foss won that day.
Tobias won the stage.
Again, close, like that. It was that weird sort of way it played out in the last couple of Ks. It was attack, 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 and you were lucky to go with the right move, I suppose, and then just picked in the sprint. And then the weather comes again. And I think one of those stages was one of the most horrendous days I think I've ever seen.
Oh, it's terrible. I think that weekend was we had that stage where I think the maximum for the day was zero, and most of the stage was like -2. And I think that was the same weekend that Flesch was on. And I remember getting in the bus, and I think there's like a famous video of like Skelmos or
Yeah,
something getting
shaking.
carried off his bike with hypothermia. Just, yeah, it was a bad weekend in all of Europe, but it was terrible. I mean, common theme here is I'm a, yeah, no surprises being from Adelaide, I'm a fair weather rider. So once the cold hits my bones, my body shuts down a little bit. So I had a bad stage that day, and sort of in my mind, rode myself out of GC, which was very disappointing again. But then the next day, weather improved, was super hard stage, and I was pretty motivated to try and get a result on the stage, and maybe a little bit too motivated.
Well, I mean, you got away,
I got away,
and then on the descent, I remember watching it. So you're going super fast down. It was almost at the bottom of the descent as well, wasn't it? Ben O'Connor's chasing you, and I'm thinking if you get to the bottom of the descent with a lead, you're probably going to win the stage because the other group will bring Ben back, and then they'll stall, or Ben comes to you, and then you work together, and you might get the stage. And then it looked like it was a wide road. You come round, and then all of a sudden, like the pavement appears from nowhere, it seemed like, and then there was a lip, and you've hit it. And then did was it you that hit, did you hit your head off the lamppost?
I went into the post. But yeah, it was a bit deceptive. Like the apparently someone said after it was a school and they had these big fences and you could sort of see through the fence, but the sidewalk was the same color as the road. So it looked like you had all this road. You couldn't tell that there was a sidewalk. And then I remember getting halfway around the corner, seeing that there was a sidewalk because you could see the lip. And I tried to tighten up, hit a pothole, and that kicked my back wheel. So I couldn't slow down in time. And I just remember being like, there's nothing I can do here. Like, I remember in my head thinking, like, oh, I can try jump, but I'm just jumping into a fence. Like, I just had nothing to do. So,
I mean, it looks like you styled it out quite well. You just seem to accept
I
your
wouldn't say
fate.
that. I wouldn't say that. Hit a pole, and then, yeah, a bit of shock. And then I think by the time I sort of got myself together, I like rolled over and saw Ben coming through, and he
And he
was
did
doing
the
the
same
exact
thing.
same thing as me. So yeah, I think the other group was lucky because by the time Ben and I had screwed it up, the cars sort of told everyone else to slow down. So yeah, we were sort of the guinea pigs.
But I mean, after that, your season never really kind of kicked on again. You had to D your
Nah.
DNF Dauphiné, your DNF Tour, your DNF Welter. Was
Yep.
that a frustrating part of the season for you?
Yeah, very, very. Like it was pretty. I mean, obviously the Dauphiné was frustrating. Again, I'd done like a lot of work at altitude and I was in pretty good shape. And I just had a silly crash. It just sort of bottlenecked on a bridge and I just slid on the top of a bridge and I cut my hands up pretty bad. And with the tour in mind, the team sort of said, yeah, we don't want you to go risk it, which was lucky because the next day, I don't know if you remember, was that stage where everyone went sliding.
Yeah,
So
that's right.
I got off the plane back to Sierra and saw that, and I was like, well, good call. I'm glad I'm not there sliding on my hands again. So yeah, but that was frustrating. And then went back to Sierra, started training with Yatesy there, and we did another couple big weeks there, and then I'd say I was in good nick for the tour. And again, we had a bit of bad luck. Yatesy got COVID on the third day, I think, when we went to Galibier from memory. So we were really off the pace that day. I rode him into the finish. And then, yeah, I think we changed mentality a little bit. And then on the weekend there, where we did those two hard days, on the Saturday morning, I woke up and I was like, oh, I don't feel 100%, but at the time I just was like, ah, the air conditioner, I've got dry sinuses, and got through that Saturday stage. And then on the Sunday stage, I felt terrible. I was just suffering all day and got into the bus and started throwing up and did a COVID test and I was positive. So yeah, ended up going home from that. And then the season, never turned around for me after that. I sort of felt like leaving the tour, I needed to make up for pulling out. And the idea was to go to the Welter and have a crack myself at GC. So I was training pretty hard once I got better from COVID. And yeah, I just had another couple health problems and ended up getting anemic and super fatigued and ended up having a week off before the Vuelta and came to the Vuelta, rode the day before the TT, and used the TT as an opener, but I think I was in the break on the Sierra stage because I know the roads around there pretty well, and it was a big day. And yeah, I got up the road that day, and I think that was the last little bit of energy I had in my body. And then after that, I think it said, "We're not doing this anymore." And the 2 days after that, I had nothing, so I ended up going home, and that was my season done.
So you've had quite a long break, really.
Yeah, I had a long break. I stopped then, and then I had probably a bigger off season than I've ever had. I think I had 5 weeks off the bike in total. And then I also got back training a little bit earlier. I mean, very easy to start with. I had some limiters set on me by the coach. So I think the first week was 9 hours, and next week after that was 11 or something. So I really eased back into it slowly. But yeah, it's been good. Had a good break, good rest, and learned a lot of things from last year, and hopefully can take that into this season and yeah, improve again.
So a bit of change at the team. Simon has moved on, and Ben O'Connor comes in after a super strong 2024. So, I mean, it's that lazy sort of thing of looking, oh, they've signed an Aussie, they've signed another
Yeah.
Aussie. But how does it feel having Ben? I assume you know Ben pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know him super well, but yeah, I know him well enough that we'll catch up and have a chat at races, and I'm sure we'll see each other a bit more this year. We both live in Andorra, so try catch up with him. He's obviously not back in Australia. He's still in Europe getting ready for the season. But yeah, I mean, cycling's not a very very secretive sport. You always hear who's trying to sign who, and heard around the tour time that we were probably going to sign O'Connor. So yeah, I think yeah, good signing for the team. I mean, he's an Aussie, but that doesn't change anything. He's yeah, like you said, he had an exceptional season last year. So yeah, that speaks for itself. And obviously, yeah, if you want to replace someone like Simon, then you got to bring in a pretty special rider. So yeah, I think the team's done the best they can with who was available, and yeah, we look forward to having Ben on the team.
And that you personally for this season, so you do nationals and then you're back over towards the east to do TDU stage three, I think it is, looks a little bit tasty this year. They've again that idea of not just about, you know, Wollonga, they want to try and make
Yeah.
the rest of the race kind of hard, and they've introduced a stage where a pretty tough climb kind of near the end. Is that one you know?
Yeah, I know that quite well. I mean, I've ridden it quite a bit this summer, I guess you could say. But yeah, it's definitely a grippy stage. It's a hard climb. It's always hard to tell, like, you do it in training and it feels terrible, and then we go up there in a race and we're going 30K an hour or whatever it is, so it goes by a bit quicker. But it's a tough climb. I'd say on par with Wollonga. And probably the big difference I'd say is the run in to the climb is not quite as simple. I think everyone's going to want to go in there in a good position, which Wollonga you can sort of get away with it a bit. It's nothing technical about the run into Wollonga, and if you have legs, you can sort of move yourself up pretty late. So it'll be good. I think it's a good course this year down under. It's I think they tried last year putting in that stage at Fox Creek, and it didn't really kick off as much as what anyone expected. It was still a big group, but I can't imagine it being a big group this year. It's very tough. I think it'll be a GC type day, and again they've done they've brought back the stage in Victor Harbour where Rowan won a couple of years ago, I think. So there's stages for the sprinters, and plenty of stages for aggressive racing, and Wollonga's Wollonga, everyone knows what to expect there. And then yeah, the back to the crit around the city to finish things off.
Yeah, I saw that was back in. I quite enjoy that as a final stage.
Yeah, I think it's cool for the race. Especially going and doing Malunga on Saturday. Everyone loves being out there on the weekend, and then, just for the event and also the spectators, it's nice to be able to watch the finish of the race on a Sunday afternoon, and it's close to the city. It's good to watch, easy to watch, and also they've got the women's event in the morning as well. So yeah, full day of cycling.
And they've got, you boys have got Plappe, but you've also got Mauro Schmidt, who I believe
Yeah.
is, I've heard some rumours that he's already over training pretty hard. So
Yep.
definitely two good cards to play.
Yeah, for sure. Mauro's been, I don't know when he got to Adelaide, but I know he's been there for a bit. And yeah, we got a good team. Plappy obviously is always in good shape this time of the year. And then we've got pretty much the rest of the guys here that are at Nationals doing it, and then Campbell Stewart, who he's quite fast as well. He's won a stage of Croatia, so another card to play in the sprints, if it is a sprint.
Yeah, because quite tough stages. But yeah, he's quick.
Yeah, he's quick. I mean, I don't know, every year some of the sprint stages they question whether the sprinters will get over, but yeah, the big thing with Down Under, I guess, is who wants to do what? Do you want to race it? Do you
Yeah.
want to race it aggressive? And I think the other big thing is if you go out somewhere and it's 40 degrees, no one's pushing on the pedals all day, that's for sure.
And what's the rest of the season looking like, Chris?
I'll do Cadell's the weekend after, so head across there, do Cadell's, and then I'll head off to Oman. I'll do the Muscat Classic, which I think is the day before Oman. Do Tour of Oman, UAE tour, and then back across to Europe, have a bit of a rest, do a bit of altitude, tour of the Alps, and then get ready for the Giro.
Oh, Giro, cool.
Yeah. So no tour this year. I'll focus on the Giro, and then get through that part of the season and see what the back end of the year looks like.
Quite a heavy block at the start to do TDU, Oman. That's
I mean, I
kind
think the finishing the season so early and getting back into things, it was, I enjoy doing long blocks of training. I get myself into pretty good shape from the training, and then it's nice to similar to last year with Paris-Nice and Catalunya, pretty close, two pretty hard races, but I think I can sort of race back-to-back races and perform quite well. So that's the idea behind Oman and UAE. They're sort of the first goals for me personally. And I think racing Down Under and Cadel's just hopefully tops me up a little bit before I head over there.
Now, the Green Mountain should be one that you like, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I remember watching it last year. I think Adam Yates pumped everyone.
Yeah, it did.
But I think they had a weird Oman last year from memory. It was pretty strange weather, and I think they cancelled the other GC
It
day.
was heavy rain, wasn't it?
From what I've heard, I've never done Oman before. I've done UAE a couple times, but from what I've heard from all the guys in the team is it's a pretty good race, pretty grippy. Obviously, there's some days in UAE where you go along a big highway and don't do much unless there's a bit of wind about, but it sounds like that's not the case in Oman. So I'm looking forward to it. Should be great.
Yeah, it's usually a much better race overall than UAE. Oh man, it's over the years it's produced some really
Yeah,
big name winners in the Green Mountain, like Froome, Nibali, like going
I
back a
think
bit.
Valverde for a couple of years, no one could beat him up there from
Yeah.
memory when I first started watching. So it's good. And I mean, racing in that part of the world this time of the year, you get a couple extra weeks in some warmer weather, which, going back to
You're avoiding
my fair weather
Paris.
rider, I'll never turn down that. But yeah, I mean, same thing. We get nice hotels when we're in Oman and UAE, so live it up while you can, and then once you get to France, you're in the Ibis budget and back to reality.
The highs and lows of a professional cyclist. Right, Chris. Well, thank you very much. Who knows? This could be your year after so
Yeah, who
many
knows? That's it.
years.
I think you've predicted it a couple of times, and I've made a meal of it. So maybe this year, say I'm not going to finish, and I'll go
A deal. It's a deal. Okay, you're not. I'm not even going
well.
to mention you now. That's it. I'll
Yeah,
just talk.
fantastic.
I'll talk about Flappy and Dudbo. That'll be it. But Chris, thanks a lot. Best of luck.
Thanks, mate.
And I hope it goes well when the first part of the season's good for you.
Thank you very much. Full kumite, accumulate papes. First razor blade for the gig, we're moving weight to win the weight. Wise ways, precise aim. Trying to rhyme like this might leave your mind strained. The times change, flight delay, light haze. Thoughts looking like they foundation might cave. The look in my eyes resemble the ice age. The clocks of the crowd, the rent park is way park waves. Like moves on, move raw. Involuntarily eat your full paw. Feel like a painter who can't do wrong. Fallatio from lazy do fall to cocaine. But brought a broad brain with all game, you snow change. You do like a sonic grand, probably 10. We push it in the hallway, on guard always. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, Nag Daddy. Oh, yeah. I feel like. Should be fossilized in amber. Wise commander, fuck all the lies and slanders. When it come to ill niggas, you sound like a standard. Feathers and quillers, I write the standards. Cobra, cuanto tu me cobra. Tengo dinero, pero no me sobra. You want the flake of the boulder, then I'm introducing the baking soda. Into the Yoda Palace, we go to some blowing hate in circles in Minnesota. Buffaloes in their barrio. Drama with Disco King Mario. Shotty blow in the hands of the Sicario. I reload the pill off without watching his body fall. Porky ass and the mighty gone. Rainbow headband, Sylvester Stallone. Skull and bone, heron bone, wishbone. Went out for the trophy and brought the shit home. Blowing loud endo. Chop the rock to 16-bit Super Nintendo. The cream rises in a crescendo, nigga. Well, now your daddy kicking at. You know what I mean? Jump off the motherfucking cliff live out the district. Shit, my nigga. Word. Woo.